addressing time, I'll just open the session by allowing ourselves to introduce ourselves to you and yourself to us. I am not aware who was the delegation that day. I assume that you are the same delegation that came, and that probably the membership was also was all there. I'm not sure who were here and who were not here. So the proper thing to do is therefore then to introduce ourselves, because I was not there. I was in another mission overseas. So can we start? We'll start with myself here. And we'll move this way through our whip of the committee right up to the end there. Those who are not familiar with myself, I'm the chairperson of this committee. My name is Ngqaba Ngcobo. I have Shanaz here, the committee secretary. And then I have at the back there my secretary who looks after my interest in the office, Nina Pasensi. And I think others will have to introduce themselves. I'll start with the whip here. And by the way, thank you very much. I also read that you acted and you conducted the committee proceedings very well. I was reading here from the minutes. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. First, I want to thank the support that I got from the family. I'm sorry from the committee and the staff of science and technology at the most difficult time. In when my mother was ill and she subsequently passed on. Thank you very much for that. Family appreciated that. I'm Lindelwa Donjwa. I'm the whip of science and technology, member of the African National Congress. Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson, and good morning, everybody. My name is Bobby Muchumi, a member of this portfolio committee.
Thanks. Chair, honorable members, and the officials from the department. Good morning. I am Nkosi Muelo Nongonyana. I am a deployee of the African National Congress from the OR Tambo region of the Eastern Cape and a member of this committee.
Thank you, Chairperson. I am Zinhle Ndlovu, a member of this committee, and a member. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm Sana Plaiki, a member of this committee.
Good morning. I'm Marion Shin, a DA member of this committee.
Thank you, Chair. Loretta Jacobus, member of the committee, ANC. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Chair. I am Siswa Daniel Rasinyalo, part of the delegation from the Department of Science and Technology.
I'd be happy to know what you're doing, because I was not there. Maybe others know, but I was not there so that I can relate to you in terms of content.
Chairperson, I am in the legal services of the department, and my role here will be to advise in terms of the legalities pertaining to the protocol.
Morning, Chair. Morning to everybody. I'm Annalyn Morgan, the Director responsible for Africa Cooperation in the Department of Science and Technology, in support of the Deputy Director General.
Good morning, Chair and honorable members. My name is Thomas Ofterheide. I'm Deputy Director General in the Department of Science and Technology, responsible for international cooperation. And I'm glad that my two colleagues have already introduced themselves. Chair, they were not with me in the last presentation, but I thought that considering the questions and concerns that's been raised by the honourable members at that time, it might be appropriate for them to be joining us for the presentation today. I would like to wish all of the honourable members and yourself a wonderful and productive year. I guess all of you are already going to be very busy with the local elections in the near future, and I wish you strength and fortitude for that. And I hope that you don't have to wear out too many pairs of shoes walking the streets on this. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Everybody must introduce him or herself here. Nobody must lie underneath the ground.
Chair, I thought everybody knows me. Luyanda France, Parliamentary Liaison Officer in the Ministry.
There are a few officials there.
Jolene Hendrick, 7-8.
Aziza Friedrich, CSIR, Parliamentary Office.
Kelly Chillingstad, PMG, Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Okay, thank you very much, honourable members and the TDG and the delegation. I was not here, as I said last time, but it touches me that our member lost a parent, and I think it would be very respectful of us to have a moment of silence if you didn't have it before. Can we? Thank you. Right, I think we must just hit the ground running already. We are some few minutes after 10. DDG, I'll give it to you then in accordance with the request from the honourable members.
Thank you, Chair. Honourable members, I just want to make sure I did send through a copy of slides. There's a lot lying here in the front. And then secondly, Chair and Honourable Members, there was a pack of documents circulated by our Parliamentary Liaison Officer. I'm presuming that members are in possession of that, of the pack of documents. Thank you, Chair. As you've alluded, we have previously had the opportunity to engage with the committee in July last year on the SADC protocol. That was an initial presentation by myself where I presented the protocol, but perhaps with more of an emphasis on what the Department of Science and Technology is doing in the region. So I presented extensively on a range of different projects, and I thought instead of presenting again on the content of our work in SADC, it would be perhaps appropriate to focus on the specific issues that were raised by the honourable members in the previous time. As I recall them, Chair, there were these five. The first had to do with the legal versus the substantive role of the committee. What exactly was the committee required to do with regard to this protocol? I understand from the committee secretary that these matters have been in the meantime clarified, because this is really a matter for Parliament to be advising the committee on. It's not appropriate for the department to be providing advice in this respect. In a nutshell, my understanding of this now, Chair and honourable members, is that the procedures around these sorts of documents require you to deliberate on whether you want to recommend ratification of this document to Parliament or not. As I understand it, honourable members, discussing possible amendments to the text is apparently not an option in this respect. As I said, this is my understanding of the legal. This is not advice. This is my understanding of the current legal situation. And I did speak yesterday to the committee secretary, who indicated that she had clarified the legal role of the committee in association with Parliamentary Legal Service. The second requirement that was raised at the time was the possible need for an explanatory memo, we did in fact establish that this was not just a possible need, it was a requirement, and I want to apologize for the fact that the department was unaware of this at the time. We have subsequently drafted a memorandum, and that was submitted to you via the minister's office in December last year, and it is, honourable members and chair, it is in the pack. There's an explanatory memo. It's the it starts on the fifth page of the pack as it was provided, and it's called explanatory memo, subject SADC protocol on science, technology, and innovation. This memorandum outlines the history of the protocol, its objectives. It briefly outlines key strategic considerations and implications, and it has a detailed list of the financial implications. These are the requirements, Chair, of that protocol, of that memorandum, I beg your pardon. So we finalized and submitted that explanatory memo. The third issue raised by the Honourable Committee members at the time was that they needed to have clarification on possible legal ramifications of ratifying the protocol. Again, Chair, we have included in the pack that was provided to the committee a legal opinion from the Department of Foreign Affairs and the Chief State Law Advisor in the Department of Justice, indicating that the protocol is not in conflict in any way with South African law. That was a concern raised by the honourable members, and the copies of the letters are in the pack. There is also, on the fourth page of the pack, a short statement about something called self-executing provisions. The statement from our law section, indicates that there are no self-executing provisions in the SADC protocol, which would automatically have legal ramifications. So on this matter, we've provided documents to the committee to emphasize that there are no legal ramifications in domestic or international law for South Africa in approving the protocol. The remaining two items, honourable members, was a request from the committee to get a little bit more clarity on the process leading up to the tabling of the document in Parliament. I would like to run through that shortly in some of the slides. And lastly, there was a request then for the financial implications to be spelt out. I had previously given an indication of these, but I hadn't tabulated them in an easily accessible manner. So the memorandum now provides a table over a three-year MTEF period of the budget implications of the implementation of the protocol for South Africa. And I will be looking at that later on in the presentation as well, Chair. So briefly, Chair, the history of the SADC protocol. In 2006, there was a SADC Declaration on Science, Technology, and Innovation, which was drafted by SADC senior officials, and it was later adopted by the Ministers of Science and Technology in Pretoria in that year. In 2007, SADC senior officials drafted a draft SADC protocol on science, technology, and innovation in a meeting in Durban, and shortly thereafter, the Ministers of Science and Technology finalized and approved the draft SADC protocol in Pretoria. And that document then went through the processes that are followed by SADC in formulating such protocols and engaging with departments of foreign affairs in the respective countries, as well as ministers of justice. And eventually the protocol was tabled at the SADC Heads of State and Government meeting in 2008 in Johannesburg, at which point our then President Mbeki signed the protocol on behalf of South Africa. So that's the external process, Chair. Internally, by September 2009, we had drafted a draft cabinet memo in this respect, because the process requires us to draft a cabinet memo and to request cabinet to ask Parliament to consider ratification of the protocol. That's the process involved. So we have drafted a cabinet memo. The requirements are that the essence of the cabinet memo, but not the detail of the document, of course, the essence of the cabinet memo needs to go through the cluster process. So in October 2009, we took it to the African Renaissance Committee, which is a subcommittee of the ICTS cluster, which where the protocol was briefly presented and discussed, and the that subcommittee, that African Renaissance Committee, agreed that the presentation to the ICTS cluster should take place. That then happened in November 2009, where we presented this to the cluster, and the cluster supported that the protocol should be raised to the ICTS cabinet committee level, which then happened in February 2010. In April 2010, it was then tabled in Parliament after approval by the cabinet committee, the ICTS cabinet committee, and in July I then made a presentation to the honourable members and in your absence, Chair, on the protocol, which raised the issues that I previously referred to, and we subsequently drafted the memorandum, which was then the matter was then retabled by Minister Pandor early this year. So that is the process, Chair and honourable members, as far as we're aware of. I thought, Chair, perhaps just to focus on four of the fundamental objectives of the protocol, just to remind members of these. The one is to provide a base for the development of institutional mechanisms for regional cooperation and coordination of science and technology. The second is to ensure proper coordination of resources for regional STI programs as identified in the RISDP, that's the Regional Indicative Strategic Development Plan, and the Consolidated Plan of Action on Science and Technology for the AU. So those are those two acronyms. Promote development and harmonization of science, technology, and innovation approaches in the region, and to maximize public and private investment in R&D in the region. These are the key objectives, although there's a long list of objectives in the protocol. One should perhaps think of those more as almost indications of programs that the SADC region wishes to undertake. But at the level of strategic objectives, this is really, I think, how it can be crystallized. There are a range of science and technology initiatives already underway in SADC. Many of these have their origin in the last meeting of SADC Science and Technology Ministers, which regrettably was the one that was chaired by South Africa in December 2008. I say regrettably because in theory there should be one every year, but unfortunately it's the chair of SADC in a particular year that decides whether or not to convene a meeting of the ministers. And regrettably, since we were chair, there has not been an opportunity for the Science and Technology Ministers to meet again. The next opportunity will be presented this year in Namibia, and all indications are that that meeting will be taking place. So most of these projects have their origin in December 2008, when they were recommended to the ministers and then approved by the ministers. South Africa plays a leading role in many of these, not in all of them, but in many of them. And this is where the budget implications come into play, which are outlined, honourable members, in the memorandum that I've submitted. I won't go through them because on each one of these I presented previously, Chair, to the committee on this. Briefly, the financial implications flowing from our championing of some of these SADC projects. And we have presented a detailed table in the memorandum, honourable members, but here just a brief summary. Essentially, during the MTEF period 2009-10 to 11-12, the cost to us is just under 10 million rand. Now, this is the projected cost. There may be small deviations from this because as the projects unfold, sometimes the costs change a little bit, but this is the order of magnitude that one is looking at. And we have, in the meantime, also leveraged at least, and I think it might be more than that in the meantime, at least 3.3 million rands of foreign support for these SADC initiatives. There is a great degree of interest from development partners in the north to facilitate regional science, technology, and innovation projects and interventions, especially when South Africa is facilitating these interventions. And so we have used our relationships with the development partner countries in the north to leverage such investments on behalf of the region in support of these regional initiatives that I outlined earlier on. In summary, Chair and honourable members, we'd like to make the point that the ratification of the SADC protocol is an important step toward regional integration, not just in science and technology, but the regional integration in science and technology is an important contribution to and component of broader regional integration. It is the existence of this protocol, although it has not yet been ratified by South Africa and several other countries, it is the existence of this protocol as a framework that has been enormously helpful in guiding the various departments of science and technology in the region in their interaction at a multilateral level. Secondly, there's considerable progress being made in developing these regional interventions that I outlined earlier, the 8 or 9 projects. There is absolutely no doubt that SADC is the leading regional economic community on the African continent, at least with respect to science and technology. None of the other regional economic communities, Chair, have a suite of regional initiatives in the way that we do in SADC, and they are certainly not progressing as we are in SADC with those interventions. There is an interest in key development partners in the north to support regional initiatives. This is important not simply because it provides access to resources, both finances as well as technical resources and advice. It's important also for South Africa because the strategic role of South Africa in SADC is reinforced through these sorts of trilateral relationships. And then lastly, I thought it important to emphasize the point that at a bilateral level, cooperation in the region is growing steadily, and in the last 2 years, our bilateral partners in the region are themselves now beginning to fund the costs of the cooperation. In fact, it is a principle of our department to insist on co-funding of bilateral cooperation with our African partner countries. We do sometimes bear the larger portion of the costs, but in principle, all of the African partner countries nowadays contribute to the costs of our bilateral cooperation. However, the SADC, Science, Technology, and Innovation Desk, which essentially is constituted of one of our officials who was seconded to the SADC Executive Secretariat for a period of 3 years, so it consists just of one individual. That desk is weak and it is under-resourced, and this is a major constraint on growing the portfolio of regional activities within SADC. And secondly, development partners seem to be reluctant to support the STI desk directly. So to provide funding to the executive secretariat to fund the activities of the desk seems to be a problem. To raise funds for interventions and initiatives, projects as it were, that is not a problem, but to raise funds for the desk, for supporting the desk, that seems to be somewhat problematic. Chair, I thought that would provide just a brief contextual overview of the initiatives within SADC and the work that is going on within SADC to assist the honourable members in their deliberations over the content of the protocol. Thank you, Chair and honourable members.
Just before you close that, Why are they having a reservation about supporting the SCI desk?
Chair, you'll you'll agree I can't speak on behalf of development partners, but I suspect it's because there isn't a lot of confidence in the SADC Executive Secretariat as a structure, in its processes around financial management, in its governance and management structures. I am presuming this. So I need to emphasize that this is my assumption. We have tried to understand this, and this is the direction in which the discussions go.
Because I don't understand how you'd be able, therefore, to manage the whole protocol if there are no support systems to the administration.
Chair, I think that's a very important point that you're raising. I think it's if I was suggesting that there are no support structures, that is a misreading of what I said. I said it's very weak. I didn't say there's no desk. It is weak. It does need strengthening. We are working closely with the desk and with other bilateral partners in the region to strengthen the desk and to strengthen the role of the desk within the overall secretariat. There are improvements. For example, as far as we understand this year, for the first time in the current financial year, for the first time, that desk has been provided a budget for regional science and technology interventions. Previously, it had no budget within the secretariat. There is now apparently a budget. So there are signs of improvement, but certainly I think it would not be wrong to say or to assume that the efficiency of the SADC desk could be improved, and that would have a positive influence on the regional interventions that we are undertaking. That certainly is true, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much for your presentation. I think, as far as I'm concerned, it's very clear. I happen to have also read your documents. Most of it is summarized in those documents. But I'll leave members to run in touch with you as they had required before. I have Honorable Shin there. Honorable Dujwa. So far I've got two.
Thank you, Chairperson. Regarding the document itself, the protocol itself, there was a letter on the 8th of August from the Department of Justice giving a sort of legal opinion on the thing, and point two of this letter, this is the one on, as I say, dated on the 8th of August, said, note that the declaration does not make provision for certain standard clauses, and it goes through a couple, and most of those are there, except the clause on the duration and termination I couldn't find, except Article 19 on page 11 of the protocol talks about termination. It says this protocol may be terminated in accordance with provisions of Article 22 of the treaty. Now, where is Article 22 of the treaty? And if so, are we missing 20 and 21 as well? Or is it a separate document? Just like some clarity on that. And presumably that then meets with the requirements of the Department of Justice there. And yeah, I was just interested to know whether the official who was seconded, I think in 2008, is it still the same person? Is his contract expired, or are we appointing a new one? And thank you very much indeed for the details of the finances. I think that's important. Thank you. Sorry, Chair, I forgot the other one. The conference in Namibia, hopefully, that will happen this year, will that be the time when we'll get all of the signatures to the treaty? Because there was, Botswana, Malawi, Madagascar, and Mauritius who didn't sign the document in 2008. So presumably there will be a completion of these signatures. Will they have to sign again, or will that just be just those four?
Thank you, Chair. I will start with the countries that didn't sign. My question on them is that is there a reason for them not signing at the time, and is there a commitment that they will be part of the next meeting? My question, Chair, the second question is on the summary on the development partners reluctant. The question was is going to be, who are those, and is there a role that is to be played by members of parliament of the countries of SADC in ensuring that the SADC desk is strengthened and to address the issue of the reluctance of these partners to support the STI desk in SADC. For me, is the role of members of parliament of all the countries in SADC is it there? The last thing which I may have missed this. It's a comment, maybe a question that will be addressed. I don't know if that's still relevant. I'm a bit worried. Not that I don't have. I'm not interested in. It's important that women in science is also, but I find it very strange that youth in science is not. It's not something that, in particular, I'm raising this because. Majority of youth in the SADC, I think in terms of their interests and the conditions in their countries, they vary from one country to another in the region. But I'm a bit concerned that there is no point on youth in science in SADC. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Whip. I think I'll start as a follow-up from what the Honourable Junior said. And then also my reading of this document, I didn't see really where the role of members of parliament is here as an oversight structure. In particular, I want to refer you to page 4 of the, what is this, is it memorandum, what is the protocol, I think of the protocol, yeah, of the protocol, this is the protocol.
No, this is a letter from the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor.
Oh, this is a letter from the, no, that's a letter from the Chief State Law Advisor. And it's a memorandum. Oh, it's a protocol. So it's page 4 of the protocol. Page 4 of the protocol, there is a section above Article 2, which is trying to describe the abbreviations that some cause means SADC Sectoral Ministerial Committee on Science and Technology, which comprises of ministers responsible for science, technology, and innovation portfolios in member states. But it goes on, I think, in page 8 to at the top E, that is part of this is a provision of advice to the SADC Council and Summit on policy issues concerning STI. Now that's a bit puzzling to me because the policy oversight is supposed to be the role of Parliament. How does it work out? So I just need some clarification. And even actually, before it says on Article 5, institutional mechanism, it says some cost shall be responsible for the following: a provision of strategic and political overseeing of regional programs in STI. So those are a little bit concerning. What is actually also the role of the SADC Council if I may ask. And the next question is, there is a summit which established some ministerial council on science and technology sometimes early in 2006-05 in Senegal, which was the creation of some desk in the AU which was going to coordinate the activities of science and technology in the whole continent. What is the role of this SADC protocol in terms of that council? Yes, of that structure, AU structure. I think those are the few questions that I would like to note.
Thank you, Chair and honourable members. I've learnt in the few years that I've been in the department, and I've watched my Director General in his engagements with the honourable members. He's sometimes like a field marshal, and he hands out questions to the committee, to the members of his delegation that are with him. And I think that's a very good tactic. And I'm going to be doing that as well now. So the question by Ms. Shin about the possible discontinuities or the open questions between the protocol and the SADC grounding document, I'm going to ask Mr. Rasignalo to address those legal issues because we do have a response on this. And I'm going to ask my colleague Annalyn Morgan, who's responsible for Africa cooperation, to address in specific the questions that you asked at the end about the role of the SADC Council and the body that was established in Senegal, which is AMCOST, but she'll provide more information on that. And I will try to pick up on some of the other questions that have been raised. The Honourable Member Ms. Shin asked about the SADC official. It is still the same official that we had delegated there. I think his contract comes to an end of this year. He's delegated. Middle of this year. So in July or August this year, his secondment comes to an end. We certainly are beginning to think about how we should take this process forward, but I frankly am not yet in a position to provide any further details to the committee on this. But that's the current situation. The question that was asked also by the Honourable Dunja about the heads of state, the absence of the signatures by heads of state, I wasn't at the meeting of the heads of state, but I surmise the only reason those signatures are not there is because those heads of state were not at the summit. I frankly do not know whether... the requirement is that they should sign the document afterwards. It seems to me a reasonable thing to assume that that the SADC Executive Secretariat should seek the signatures of those heads of states to this protocol. But again, I don't know whether the Secretariat has done that or not, has pursued that. But thank you for raising this with us. I also looked at this, but I just assumed that's, you know, the Secretariat will do something about it, but we will check with the Secretariat. Maybe Annalyn will have a comment on that as well. I think since the Honourable Dindwa has just come back in, the absence of the signatures of the heads of state by those three or four countries is probably just, Honourable Member, as a result of them not having been at that SADC summit. We are not aware of any fundamental objection by any of the countries to the protocol. Indeed, their science and technology ministers all supported it. The Honourable Member also asked questions about the development partners, who are they, and what might be the role of Parliament and of SADC parliamentarians in leveraging support for the science and technology desk. Well, the development partners that we're referring to are really the Nordic countries, Germany, France, the UK. These are the sort of countries, Canada, Australia, who through their international development agencies like CEDA in Sweden or NORAD in Norway, AusAid for Australia, through those agencies they provide resources for support in of SADC activities. I have no doubt whatsoever that the involvement of parliamentary members when they engage with delegations from those countries, with the ambassadors from those countries, with if there are inter-parliamentary meetings, that your encouragement to those countries and their respective agencies to support regional initiatives, I've no doubt that that would be very, very helpful. There isn't a particular forum, Honourable Member and Members, that I can think of where you might be able to give effect to such support, but there may be numerous ad hoc opportunities for you to be doing that. I do think there is one area in which, as a South African Parliament and as regional parliaments, and given that you work together quite closely, there is one area I think where you could proactively make an important contribution, and that is in the following. The Secretariat, the SADC Secretariat, of course, is actually supposed to be an agency of the collective governments of the region. It's not an entity on its own. It's supposed to act on the requirements of the member states in the region. And in as much as the parliament and this parliament and other parliaments have a role in formulating the key expectations of member states of the secretariat, this is a point at which this committee and other parliamentary committees could potentially provide advice and support to the South African parties that represent South Africa in SADC structures, mainly the Department of International Relations Cooperation and the Presidency. They are the main interlocutors on behalf of South Africa in engaging with the SADC structures and the SADC Executive Secretariat. It would probably not be untrue to say that the role of science and technology in the Secretariat is not what we as a department think it should be, that it is an undervalued sphere of activity for the Executive Secretariat, and if other parts of the South African body politic that engages with the Executive Secretariat could express this view, it would probably be very helpful too. So, Honourable Dunja, thank you for raising that question. I've asked Annalene to address the second part of your question, which is about the women in science versus youth in science. What are we doing around this? But perhaps just to preface briefly what Annalene might say about this, Honourable Members, we could do a lot more in SADC if we had the resources, not just in terms of... the hand of God. not just, Honourable Members, in terms of funding, but also in terms of the human resources, both within the Secretariat, within our department and other departments in the region. So there's a serious resource constraint on what we're able to undertake. But nonetheless, Annalene will address this. Turning to the last issue, which I want to just respond to, which was raised by the Chair yourself. Chair, you've raised questions about the role of Parliament versus the role of ministers. It's not really my place to be providing a response on this. I think that the protocol stipulates fairly clearly who has what responsibilities. Whether principally that allocation of responsibilities is appropriate or not, that's a different issue. And that is something I know that Parliament is in ongoing dialogue with the Executive around. And that's the best response, Chair, that I can give at this stage to this. So I'd like to now ask Mr. Rasenyalo to respond to the legal concern raised by the Honourable Member Shin.
Thank you very much, Mr. Thomas. The question on the advice from the Department of Justice, I heard you, Honourable Member, talking about the declaration I think the document that might be here might not be the relevant one for this protocol, because the declaration only talks to the intent of the states to conclude the protocol. So the document that you must be having with you, which clearly talks that the protocol does not contravene our domestic laws, should be the one which is dated the 18th of July 2007. I don't know if that's the document that we have from the Department of Justice. The second page of the PEC. The third page, sorry. The correct document should have, it should be dated the 18th of July 2007. Thank you very much. The question of the treaty is that part of the agreement that was concluded when the SADC was established. And in our understanding, we were thinking that maybe it was it's already in the understanding of the members that the SADC has been established and they are aware of the treaty. But no, it's not the protocol. Yes, but what we have now is just that the members might not have the treaty themselves, but we've got a copy, which I think can be distributed.
With your permission, Chair, may we distribute a copy of the SADC treaty?
Yeah. And when you go to Article 22, sub-Article 10, it talks about that the decision concerning any protocol that has been entered into force shall be taken by the parties to the protocol in question. So any matter that deals with the protocol, whether it's a question of terminating or amending that protocol, has to be decided for by the members to that protocol. Yeah.
So,
first of all, can you conduct yourself through the seat of the chair? No, you're without talking. That's why you're not even using your micro. So, because with the dialogue is may disrupt the whole proceeding, I allow you to ask for a follow up. If this is a follow up, do so then.
All right, so we'll come back.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Have you finished addressing that?
Yes, I think I'm done, Chair. Thank you very much.
Honorable, we should then make a follow up.
One would assume that the legal department knew that this treaty existed and that this document was to be read in conjunction with this treaty. And I'm wondering why they actually asked you to include it in the treaty, in the protocol. Because they say, we have noted the declaration does not make provision for the standard clauses. We suggest that these clauses be incorporated into the into it. So I'm not understanding why, if they've asked you, they're only concerned with your protocol, they're not concerned with this. And they're asking it to be included in the protocol, and it hasn't been. So, I don't know whether this is some legal nicety between people. It's just not explained properly.
Thank you. Like I said before, I still insist the document that you have with you is a declaration. It's not dealing with the SADC protocol. Like I'm saying, it's a declaration. It was just the declaration by the members to enter into the protocol. The document that should be having with it has to deal with the protocol. It clearly states that the protocol is in order, and they know that you must just take note of Section 231 of the Constitution. It does not indicate any amendment that have to be made. Thank you.
I think I write about that myself. You must read through thoroughly and okay, maybe then you must have a small summit with them and get into the detail of that, because you'll be more technical than what the document says in front of us. Okay. You can continue.
Thank you, Chair. In response to the DDG, with regards to youth, promoting youth into science, honorable members will note that in the protocol it does give provision that we should popularize science and technology. And in this regard, there was a static science, engineering and technology program that was launched in 2009 in Mauritius. So it's a regional program that was launched encouraging member states to have what they call National Science Weeks for young kids. So through this, after the launch, we've seen that a number of member states have now implemented National Science Week programs. In fact, they've modeled the South African model of science, National Science Week. So we've been giving a lot of advice to our member countries on how to conduct National Science Weeks and even how to establish what we call science centers. We've helped Lesotho establish a science center through the assistance of the Australian government. We've also sent Lesotho officials to Australia for training on how to manage science centers. Mozambique last year hosted their National Science Week. The department participated. Uganda also hosted a National Science Week. So we are seeing more African countries now taking up this program of National Science Weeks, modeled on the South African program of National Science Weeks. The issue of the member countries not signing the protocol, honorable members will also note on the session that even though countries presidents were not there at the summit, they still the protocol is still open for a session afterwards in that regard. I think that's all. Okay, with regards to the African Union Science and Technology structure that the chairperson raised, it's the African Ministerial Council on Science and Technology. It's another structure of the AU at the continental level. The way the structures work is that you have a continental structure and then you have a regional structure, which is called SAMCOST. The continental structure includes all the ministers of science and technologies of the 53 member states, where SADC only concerns with the 15 countries of SADC. So what happens for regions to participate in the continental structure, they also have a governance structure, what they call a bureau and a steering committee. And in that bureau, participation in the bureau is per region. So you get regional representation in the bureau. So you have five regions who are represented in the bureau. Currently, for the SADC region, it's South Africa and Namibia who are representing SADC in the AU Bureau of Science and Technology. And the AMCOS is currently being chaired by North Africa, which is Egypt, is currently the chair for that body. And it's a rotational chairmanship of 2 years. So their chairmanship will come to an end next year, and it will move to Central Africa. So that's how it's conducted. So what we do as a SADC region, we caucus and say who should represent us at the continental body. So for this term, it's South Africa and Namibia.
Thank you much. That's very, very helpful. I wanted to understand the interaction between these structures, because we have got these regional bodies outside SADC. We have what ECOWAC in the Northwest Africa and so forth, how they coordinate their activities with the African continental structure. No, thank you very much.
A follow-up, honorable chair, and pardon my ignorance. In this process that you have outlined in terms of youth, which I will also bring in women, is there a process of I would say monitoring, lacking of the better word, monitoring if these projects that have been implemented in SADC, are they producing results that as SADC we can be proud of, and as South Africa we're able to, or is it left to countries on their own? Because I would imagine that it's quite a very powerful and profound project that we are also engaged on. But my concern is, if there is that monitoring, who does that? Is it both the international relations and cooperation and ourselves that does that? Because it's quite very interesting. I'm raising this because if then that is not done, that's why initially I was saying, pardon my ignorance, if then that is not done, those processes or the countries will always be undermined by the development, by the developed countries, because you will understand the history, the politics and the ideology behind science in these countries and in the world, and in particular in Africa. So that's what is making me to have an interest in that. Thank you.
Before you address this question, I've got another also a very important question. I'm sure you are aware that this year we will be hosting COP17, and we'll also be hosting for the first time in the African continent the 62nd Astrological Congress. Now, as has happened with the FIFA World Cup, I think this structure, this protocol, and the structures developed under this protocol are supposed to therefore service not only the region but also the continent in terms of these big world summits that are coming to South Africa, in terms of space agencies and technology development, in terms of climate change, agreement leading to the UNFCCC protocol next year. So how much have you prepared yourself to draw the strength of all these continental structures in preparation for these two important world summits that are coming to South Africa this year? One is in October, another is in December.
Thank you, Chair. I will ask Annelien to also make some comments in response to the two issues that have been raised now. briefly, in response to the Honourable Member Dunjwa's question about monitoring the impact, this is one of the frustrations that we have with the performance of the SADC desk, because really the SADC desk is the secretariat that should be monitoring the implementation of these various interventions, regional interventions, and should be reporting on the impact of these. And that's not really working as effectively as one would want it to. So this is one of the things as we begin to plan how to support the desk beyond the termination of the current secondment of our official. This is one of the things that we want to be clear on. My own approach to this is I think we need more of a quid pro quo. If we provide the support to the desk, we need to know what the secretariat is going to do in response to that. And I think perhaps this was an area that could have been better negotiated previously. But that does not mean that there isn't monitoring of the impact of these various projects, Honourable Member, at the level of the projects. And Annelien can provide you a bit of information about that. Chair, the question that you've raised about these two big events, Annelien will provide you some additional information on some of this as well now, but perhaps just my opening comments on this would be to say that our focus on this at the moment, Chair, is on the climate change issues. It's very much regional rather than continental. Because the climate change issues, of course, their climate implications continentally, but the experience that we share with our regional neighbors, not with our neighbors right up in the north, for example. So there's a rationale also for focusing a bit more on this regionally. And Alaline will talk about some of the projects that a key project that we've engaged in and that we are providing leadership on in the region. Chair, you will know, of course, that the lead department in our preparations for COP17 is Environment Affairs and not ourselves. But we are developing a program around profiling South Africa's science and technology within the processes leading up to COP17, so the various negotiations that will take place. We're developing, one of our staff members is busy developing a plan around interventions that we want to undertake there. These are now South African interventions, not regional ones. Annelien will talk about regional ones. On the Astronautical Congress, we do view this as a very important opportunity, both to promote the region and the continent and to promote national interests. The national interests clearly are around our whole interest and our focus on astronomy broadly, and we would want to use this opportunity also to promote our SKA bid. We haven't yet finalized our plans about how to use this Congress in order to do that, but that is one of the things we do want to do. With regard to regional and continental initiatives, I think here one has to be strategic, because really the level of interest and the level of capacity with regard to space science and technology is very disparate across the continent. There are not a large number of countries that have the ability to respond to large initiatives in space science and technology. There are some, like Algeria, South Africa, Kenya, Nigeria perhaps,
Tunisia.
So with those, we are working quite closely on the African Resource Management Constellation. The African Resource Management Constellation, which honorable members and chairs, a joint venture by South Africa, Algeria, Nigeria, and Kenya to build a satellite that will be geostationary over Africa, I think, if I remember correctly. And it's a joint venture. So there are some continental initiatives along these lines, and clearly we would want to use the Astronautical Congress as a means of promoting those as well.
Just before she continues, you know, the perspective from which I was asking this question is, arising from FIFA strategies by our country, it was that because this was a world event which come once in a blue moon, it was actually the obligation, it's part of our obligation to promote the interests of the continent into the world. Now, that is why we took this position about FIFA. Now, COP17, also the same position has been taken by Africa. When we attended the Copenhagen summit, there was one document and one position about the African continent. And this is very important. In particular, this year it is even more important, because next year is the end of the first protocol, first phase of Kyoto Protocol. Now, and we are seeking if the second phase is being adopted by the United Nations, that our positions as the African continent are unique and therefore are put before, as central also in the second phase. Now, we are hosting this important summit this year. And whilst it is the late department is environment and so forth, but the strengths are with the Department of Science and Technology to make most of what we wanted to realize. Because if you talk about the question of CCS strategy, it can only come from us. If you talk about many other very advanced, even the renewable energy strategy or low carbon strategy, it's us who therefore, with the structures that you are developing, I therefore expect that you would be starting to mobilize the resources available in the African continent so that come this summit at the end of December, we are well in place to put our positions straight and firm if the agreement has to be reached. And mind you, I was in Cancun. Many people in Cancun felt that the treaty, this deal will be sealed in South Africa because they saw how we handled World Cup. And everybody has this expectation. And it's you, the Department of Science and Technology, in particular, international relations, which is supposed to be a lead organization, I mean a lead structure in making these dreams realizable. The same with the Astronautical Congress. It's the first of its kind in Africa since 1941. And so the space agency, the development of all the launch by the minister of the space agency and the related structure, it compels your department and your program to do a lot in making it realizable in October. Honorable Dunja was with me in Prague when we attended that conference. When they asked us, "Are you ready to host us in Africa?" That was well last year, and yesterday I received a letter from the organizers. Already they are saying that by March 3 this year, it's a closing date of abstract submissions for people who would like to present papers. So are you ready to have people who will be presenting these papers? Because we only have got some few, two, 3 weeks before that. That's my question. They are from there, the only question I'm asking.
Chair, thank you for those observations. You've raised a number of issues, many of which I'm not in a position to respond to right now because I came prepared for a discussion around the protocol. And I do understand that there's a relevance. But let me provide just a few comments, and then I will ask Annelien to provide a response to some of the things that were raised previously. As you have correctly said, and I indicated this earlier as well, the lead department on our preparations for COP17 is Environment Affairs, together with DIRCO. There is, Chair, as you may know, an interministerial committee that has been established. And the lead departments on that are, as I said, Environment Affairs and DIRCO, but also Energy. The Minister for Planning is also on that committee. So it's a high-profile, wide-ranging committee that also meets at the level of senior officials on occasion. We are part of that structure, and we participate in the meetings there. And we are developing our own plan around the role of science and technology within the UNFCCC processes, as I indicated earlier. And in part, in developing that plan, we are initiating regional interventions as well in support of that plan. So with regard to the COP17 preparations, we are doing that. With regard to the Astronautical Congress, to be quite frank, I can't provide more comment because I don't know, and I hadn't asked myself the question previously, whether there is a lead department around this in South Africa. I don't know. It could be trade and industry because they have a footprint, and they do. Then at this point, I don't know what the nature of engagement between the Department of Science and Technology and the Department of Trade and Industry around these space issues is. It doesn't come across my desk at all. I am certain that the colleagues in Program 2 who are responsible for space science and technology are engaged in this. My own exposure to the Astronautical Congress is around using it as a platform to promote our SKA bid, because this chair, I have certain responsibilities around our international lobbying in support of the SKA, and we see this as a potential lobbying opportunity. So I'm aware of the Astronautical Congress, but my focus on it is how do I use it as a platform for SKA lobbying. the science and technology content, space science and technology content issues, I'm not in a position to comment on, Chair. This is lies with another program. If I could ask Annalene perhaps then to provide a response.
Thanks, Chair. It's a very short comment on the climate change program that was started in the region. This came through the realization that, exactly as the Chair alluded to, the lack of common positions when we go to international multilateral platforms, that often Africa is found not to have a common position, but we craft those positions when we get there at those meetings, but have not had prior caucuses in coming up with clear plans and frameworks on how we're going to engage when we go to the international platforms. So we took the initiative as the SADC region to, in response to the issue of climate change, to come up with a program as a region. And we had a first meeting in Namibia last year, August, where for the first time you had ministries, officials from the ministries of science and technology and ministries of environment in one room coming up with a framework on climate change, in addressing climate change. Because previously these two departments see themselves as separate when it comes to issues of climate change. And we found this common with our member state countries in the rest of Africa. Because if you speak to our colleagues in other ministries of science and technology in Africa, they've got nothing to do with climate change, and they don't see their role. So it was also part of an awareness that science and technology has a key role to play in addressing the issues of climate change. And hence the two ministries from the regions, environment and science and technology, have started this process of coming up with a regional framework for climate change. And through that, we are also currently doing a mapping exercise in the different countries on the various needs, and we'll be meeting again in Botswana in 3 months' time to look at the data that was gathered and see what possible flagship projects can come out of that. We are also in the planning of having a pre event to the COP17 that will take place in Durban, like a build up event in terms of what comes out of the Botswana process. So we have started a dialogue as a region. But also to note that the Ministry of Environment is currently the chair of the African Ministerial Council on Environment at the continental level, which is called AMCEN. And AMCEN deals with the continental issues when it comes to climate change. But we try to find the linkages between AMCEN and AMCOST so that there's synergies between those continental bodies.
Yeah, I'd like to just add a qualifying comment to Annalene's feedback to the honourable members, and that is that our focus in these activities is on the role of science and technology in the overall climate change negotiations. Chair, as you know, there are several tracks of negotiation. One of those tracks has to do with technology transfer and intellectual property. The other tracks have to do with mitigation and adaptation and post-Kyoto agreements and so on. On those latter streams, we have no lead to play. We provide some input to the Department of Environment Affairs or International Relations Cooperation, maybe to energy, but we don't play a lead role there. So it would be inappropriate in the SADC work that Annalene has just outlined for us as a department to be engaging with those issues. These initiatives that she's talking about are purely about the role of science and technology in climate change, specifically the focus on technology transfer, intellectual property, and capacity development around that. So it's important, honourable members, that you understand that is our role in this, because there we in South Africa are providing the lead to environment affairs and international relations and so on, and it's on that basis that we have that we're convening this process and assisting it. So I thought I just needed to qualify that.
I beg to oppose you in that, to disagree, actually. You know, you see, in that is the problem that we found in Washington. Where 131 parliaments, most of them from the developing world, we found, exactly as you are saying, they were totally not informed even about South Africa's positions in these negotiations. And as a result, they become a buffer zone to the conclusion of these treaties and protocols, because they say, who mandated South Africa? You see, when actually South Africa has taken a position because it is in the G5, and therefore G5 being invited by by G8 countries. Now, if we don't correct these positions at this level, then we are not going to realize all the energies that we dissipate throughout these years. So it is therefore important, that is what I'm trying to say, that it's very important that these protocols must serve the purpose for which they have been created to serve. We have to explore and go all out to understand what are the relevance, what are the relevant expectations of these protocols that we sign. And you have just said to yourself that it is South Africa that is leading, even in this SADC region, the systems are not in place. So it is South Africa which must lead and make some of this country. You know, we must see the opposition that came from Benin and the countries like those in this climate change before Copenhagen. You know, positions before Copenhagen from the G13 countries were almost unified. But, you know, the disaster was from the developing countries, which were not informed about what we're discussing about. And these are relevant positions that need to be ushered into these countries by countries that have developed like South Africa. That is why we are there to represent the continent, not just the G5. We are there as representing the continent. And so it's very important to use these protocols in this fashion. And that is why I'm saying that. That is why we're being chosen for these strategic conferences, international conferences, because we are a gateway into Africa, and creating these agreements, it's very important for us to lead the way. That's all that I'm saying, that we were supposed to use these protocols for the purpose for which they have been at least designed. Thank you very much. So, honorable members, I think we have covered a lot for today. Let's thank the department for having at least afforded us the opportunity to understand the relevance of this protocol, and indeed they must also take our input into consideration as they apply this protocol in with their partners. Thank you very much. I just have some few announcements to make. The delegation can leave us, and members can remain there. I nearly forgot. We have to then rectify the protocol. I'll read to the members, and then I'll ask for movers and seconders. Report of the Portfolio Committee on Science and Technology on the South African Development Community Protocol on Science, Technology and Innovation, tabled in terms of Section 2312 of the Constitution of 1996, Well, it's written 3 there, in that document.
This is the advice that they give, but they don't have to take the advice. The minister wrote 2312, so we go according to what the minister wants. The minister says 2, so we take that as the.
Okay. So, all right, I'll take it as it is. So, you must take note of that.
Yes, our parliamentary guide.
Mm. Right, I'll reread the report. The report of the Portfolio Committee on Science and Technology on the South African Development Community Protocol on Science, Technology and Innovation, tabled in terms of Section 2312 of the Constitution of 1996, dated 16 February 2011. The Port of the Portfolio Control Science and Technology, having considered the request for approval by Parliament of the South African Development Community Protocol on Science, Technology and Innovation, recommends that the House, in terms of Section 2312 of the Constitution 1996, approve the said convention. And I ask for the movers and seconders from the committee for the ratification. Honorable Dunja.
I move, Chair.
Seconder. You must say in, yeah, because it must be recorded.
Oh, Nongonyana. Second.
Thank you very much. So the protocol is been read. Is there any objection? Okay, no objection. Thank you. Thank you, members. You are relieved.
We are indeed.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Honorable Members. You must check this
because I did check it now before I came. But our guidance is with how it comes to Parliament, how the Minister introduces. You see, she also raised that question, but this is all, you see, this is legal advice that they give to the department. The department is not obliged to take the...
Yeah. No, but what I'm saying, you must read what 2311 says,
no,
and what 2313 says, and what 2312 says.
The 3 says we don't have to do anything, we didn't have to report,
yeah.
It was just for information.
Yeah.
Now 2 means we have to do that,
oh.
We have to approve it. Yeah.
Right. Honorable members, just a few important announcements. Seeing seeing our focus on the State of the Nation address and also that we are not allowed to have any other meetings. Meanwhile, during the State of the Nation address, we felt that we will not be able to attend to other things that, like study groups and so forth, which we are supposed to be doing in preparing, for instance, things like the program of the portfolio committee this week. So we thought that probably what we can do is that we can consider this program sometimes next week after the State of the Nation address. And therefore, we drop off another item here, which was circulated that we'll consider the program. The other important announcement is that as from Sunday to Wednesday, we are expected to attend a joint sitting with trading industry. On Sunday, we'll be welcoming a delegation from European Union.
Yes.
Yeah, European Union. And we are expected, there's a reception planned for Sunday. I think Shanaz may have circulated the notice to all members. If not, she's going to circulate that. And that joint sitting, so next week we'll be fully engaged in that joint sitting, which is kind of a joint sitting between us and trading industry with the European Union delegation until Wednesday. So I think the last meeting is on Wednesday, is it? Yeah. But the notice will... familiarize you with all the details when Shanaz circulates this. So, therefore, next week also we will not be able to do much because of this engagement. So we may then attend to matters of the committee week after next. That's all that I wanted to tell you, because these meetings are the whole day. It's kind of a workshop. Starting from Monday. Yeah. Is
Chair, I think at this late stage, to be told that I have to attend, you know, 4 days of meetings is unacceptable. I can't do that. I have other commitments to attend to. Also, I find it unacceptable that we will get to the first week of March, assuming that the SALT trip won't happen now, the first week of March, before we actually decide our program for the term. Parliament has been in business since the middle of January, and we still do not have a program for the first term. We would have been through half the term before we've actually decided what work we're going to be doing. I find this unacceptable, Chair, I really do. We could have sorted out our program before the end of January, and now we're not going to know what we're going to be doing. We've got the budget to do. We've got all sorts of stuff to do. We really can't be spending our time on periphery issues. And besides, we're starting our meetings very late.
What do you mean we started our meetings very late? Because I was here 9:45. You came late here. What do you mean we started meetings late?
Parliament has been in business since the middle of January. This is our first meeting. Other committees have met sometimes 2-3 times a week.
Unfortunately, we as chairpersons and whips, we're in many other important engagements. We had a workshop for chairs, we had a workshop for whips, and so we're not available, unfortunately, during those weeks. So maybe if you wanted to act as a chair, or the people would have told us and conducted these meetings.
Chair, it doesn't seem to affect any of the other parliamentary committees.
Sorry?
The heavy program you were involved in for the past month didn't seem to affect any of the whips and chairs of the other committees.
Well, I do not know how they did it, but if they were absent in those programs, then they would have done it like that. But for us, we didn't find it. We didn't find it useful, or would have found it defiant, you know, to attend those, because these were meetings organized by Parliament to table out the new way how Parliament is going to work this year. Rules and everything. It was first the chairs meeting and chairs workshop. After that, it was the caucus workshop, and so there has never been any week where we have not been doing anything. And after that, then it was the State of the Nation address.
No, thank you, Chair. I was really trying to understand and try to check what exactly were we then supposed to have done. If the concern is that we may, because what I was going to raise was that in between we'll have to check some of the very important matters which are going to affect our programs, which I would think that it's the oversight work and whatever. Look into that and then request, I was going to propose that yourself and your secretary and myself as the whip will look into those, try and circulate those so that in whatever, because maybe the concern from the honorary member is that we may lose time and not do some of the things that we then would love to do. And I wanted to make it that proposal, Chair, because some of the events, unfortunately, were events that were really beyond our control. It's unfortunate that we are not in competition with other committees. We don't know why they have to sit and whatever. I don't think this is for that. I think ours is that in the event that the schedule is tight, what is it that we can do to ensure that we don't find ourselves left behind? The second thing, Chair, myself also, unfortunately, I will have to apologize in advance without even having seen the program, but I will formulate the program. Some of these activities that you're talking about, I may not be able to attend because there are some commitments that have been set, and I've already accepted that in another level of deployment. So that's what I really wanted to reflect on. Thank you.
You'll recall that we have been trying, we've been liaising with you over the telephone. We've been even trying to find sometimes slots And I don't think it is, this is a correct platform to reiterate what were the problems, what were the stumbling blocks. But it is safe to say that we did not just sit and fold arms, and we tried. We even went as far as consulting with Luanda about other times whereby we could have been able to slot in. And as a result, the only possible time we felt was possible was looking at the program that we have even this week of Parliament was only on Thursday, because they, only today, because they have changed this morning, they've changed the program that there is no longer a plenary after lunch, after the caucus. So we then said we may then probably have to look into whether we cannot have both the study group and after the study group and have the program and look at the program. But that is why I said the committee must remain behind so that we can try and brainstorm those exactly. But in reality, we have not been sitting down doing nothing. We've been working ourselves, myself, I was here since the 18th. I've been here in Parliament since the 18th. Actually, this weekend I wasn't even able to attend my constituency meeting because of activities in Parliament. So we have not been idling ourselves.
So I can maybe just clarify the invitation from the trade and industry sector. The EU delegation is the invite was for the committee to have a joint meeting with other economic cluster committees for a briefing on Wednesday. That's our meeting date. The other days, chairperson was invited to attend that as chairperson and an additional member if anybody else was interested and available. I think that invitation read like that, but we got as the committee invitation for Wednesday when it's our committee slot to have a joint meeting for a brief. Thanks.
Okay. Any further clarifications?
It's not a clarification, maybe just a humble suggestion as well that what we could do, I think maybe what we are requested to do in terms of program, we provide a program for 3 months, which is a session, that our last meeting before the 3 months, we have a business meeting as a committee, just to brainstorm and throw it out to yourself, the secretary, the whip, who will then kind of compile a program for us. So as we start the new term, we run straight into business. And we do that also with the last meeting of the year, so that when we come back, our first meeting, we dive straight into business and we don't have to look at programs and stuff, because there are those meetings of whoops and chairpersons and so on, so that we don't kind of end up 3 weeks later trying to put something together or something like that. But just as a suggestion that we do that on a quarterly basis. So our last meeting for the term should be a business working meeting, where we all throw our suggestions for programs and stuff like that. Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you. We used to do it like that before, but it's just that, unfortunately, in this last year, there's been a problem of even the quorum of this committee. It's the first time this year that the whippery has been able to construct, as you are, we are all here, to allocate people to one, to single committees. You know very well. Most of you have had problems, and that's why you were unable to come here. So there was no way that we could do anything under those circumstances. Mrs. Sheen herself knows very well most of many other important engagements. We would only be two or three, you see, attending them. So there was no way, therefore, that we could even throw out programs of this nature the previous year when there was no committee, even management structures. You see. And that's not our fault. We reported this matters a number of times in the whippery. They came sometimes to sit even in our study group. They know it very well. That's not our problem. So problems of other structures should not be thrown into us. We have done our work the way we should. Yes.
I hope we're done with this. There's something that I forgot to reflect on, and I was not quite sure that was I expected to have a written report. I was requested to represent the committee in the launch of TIA in the Eastern Cape, which was done in PE on the 25th of November. I think the activity went well, Chair. So I just wanted to dive if then. Otherwise, it was just a launch. Although there are some concerns that we raised in where it's located, but there are still some, they're interested in meeting, having a meeting with us at Science and Technology, in particular the committee, just to check what is it that they can do. Otherwise, Luanda was part of that. It went well. That's all.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll present a report during the committee sittings in one. We'll slot you in the agenda of one of the sittings of our committee. But I think, therefore, if there is no further input on this aspect, I'll release members of the committee. But I would also like members of the study group to remain here. Thank you very much. Can you allow us to start our sorry? You if you want to cross the floor, if you want to no, the doors are open. But you heard we invited yesterday evening your president to come like that. He's going to leave you behind. Okay. Comrades, all that the question of the program and the study group. So we couldn't have a program without having had a study group, you see, and that was the main important program. And that is why we just thought that the briefing, since it's just a briefing about the protocol, we can have that and then give it as a form of announcement, and then we sit back and discuss how we can do it, the program, because we can do the program even next week or this week, tomorrow, Thursday, since there's been the cancellation of the plenary. We can have both the program, and today we can still have the study group now and have a program tomorrow. We are now talking the study group with. Yeah, I you see, I didn't see you because you are hiding behind Ingos here. So, and we know you have even a tape. Even look at this. You are even taping.